A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
In the months following the murder of Nundris the Hutt, the crew of the Tin Sparrow spent some time going out on their own adventures. Kael D-Bag traveled to Tatooine and built a pod racer with the remains of his ship, the Sweet Minzo. Sawbone went to Solus to track down a target for Verbok, where he ran into his old mentor, Box Drag. Willy Ro Moss spent time getting his new casino up and running on Nar Shaddaa, making quite the profit in return. These are the adventures of Chub Rub and Mark Kenobi. So Sawbone drops you off on Naboo. Well, I guess both of you get off at Naboo. And you guys kind of split up. He goes and does a thing. I guess goes
I don't know what that dude does for fun.
Yeah.
Plays cards, yeah. Jacked off. I don't
Yeah. Yeah, so he goes and like checks into like a little hotel and like that's kind of near a beach and he's kicking back and relaxing. And drinking a lot of Long Island iced teas.
Yeah, I'm going to go find like a 5-star hotel.
Okay.
And like I want to get like a penthouse suite.
Oh.
Like the nicest digs I could possibly get. I want to be pampered, get some massages.
All right.
Get my fur lathered and rinsed and soaked and all that kind of crap.
Okay.
Like I want to just go to Cloud Nine.
All right, how many nights are you planning on doing that?
Give me 3 nights of that.
All right, so that's going to be 3,000 credits.
All right. I'm going to tip everyone very liberally.
Okay.
So I'm going to subtract another 1,000 credits for tipping.
Okay. So you're there for about a week. So you spend those will be your first 3 days doing that?
Yeah, just oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because think about it. I've been in a cage for 2 years, then 4 months of hard murdering and mayhem and madness.
Yeah.
So this is my first chance to really relax, like, I'm getting taken care of, getting pampered,
mm-hmm.
kind of getting some information on the local wildlife scene. Maybe go, like, once I finish this, go get real dirty.
Okay.
Go play in the woods.
For sure. So, yeah, you spend your time, you do all those things. You get pampered, you get massages, you get your...
Drink out of coconuts, or yeah, space coconuts.
Yeah, or whatever they have on Naboo. A lot of peaches, I guess. I think that's what Anakin feeds Padme. It's like a peach.
Yeah.
I dip those in butter before I eat them.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure you do.
Yeah, you're living the high life. Like, you're, you know, room service of various sorts. You just in your time around Theed, you know, you're asking about wildlife and what's around. And you hear a lot of the people of Naboo talk about there's some swamp areas and stuff, kind of not too far. Not swampy like how Nal Hutta is. It's a different type of swamp. Just a lot of lakes and stuff that kind of turn into like swampy areas. They tell you about all the different like creatures and stuff that you can find there. I don't really know any of their names off the top of my head, but the ones that you see and that the Gungans ride, those weird horse looking creatures,
yeah.
Those guys, and then like those kind of the bigger, rounder things that Anakin rides in episode 2 that he like stands on and falls off of, and it's really stupid.
Oh yeah. That was a weird scene.
And a really weird looking creature.
Yeah, I don't want to go anywhere near that place.
Yeah, so it just tells you about those things, but they're all like herbivores, so you don't really have to worry about, like, you know, not necessarily predator types. But just they tell you about that, and then you hear them mention the Gungans. Which
Gungans?
Yeah, you're already pretty. You know about the Gungans?
Yeah, I do know about those goddamn Gungans.
And
thing ever happened this universe, ever.
Yeah, and the people of Naboo seem to agree with you. Over the last just hundreds of years, possibly even farther back than that, the people of Theed and like the pretty much the humans and stuff and all their cities have had kind of like not necessarily wars per se, but clashes with the Gungans. They are not currently in the middle of one of their clashes with them, but a pretty long, let's say like 6 year constant, like back and forth little skirmishes with the Gungans just recently came to an end about 6 months to a year before, but they've been going on for a number of years. So people are not very,
so I'm in good company, but if I start shit talking, they're not a fucking stupid shit motherfuckers.
Yeah. They agree.
They would probably agree with me no matter what, cause I'm paying the shit out of them, but
yeah, for sure. But they kind of tell you, you can find them out in the woods areas, kind of near the swamps. That's kind of their territory, away from the cities, and they're often out there hunting and gathering, and they live underwater, deep, deep down underwater. But that you can often find parties of them out in the woods.
All right. I am going to go rent some kind of vehicle.
Okay. Yeah, there's like speeders and stuff that you can rent.
A speeder or a skiff or something, get through the woods.
You want more like a speeder bike sort of thing?
Yeah, something like that.
For sure. Okay, so you find like it's like a single person speeder like
kid bike size.
But yeah, like a smaller version meant for smaller alien beings as well as like smaller humans and stuff. Not necessarily for children, but like definitely, you know, Jawas and stuff, things that are smaller than your average human.
I'm on board with it.
Yeah, that's going to cost you, we'll say 300 credits a day. Okay. And they want it fueled up before it comes back.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't think they run on fuel. I'm sure it's energy packs or cells or whatever.
Do I have to clean it?
No, because
all right.
All that gets taken care of when it gets dropped off.
Y'all better have some bleach when I get back. That's all I'm going to say.
The person that you're renting it from kind of like looks at you like, okay.
I just smile early to the grin.
Whatever. So they rent that out to you. You just head out of the city?
Yeah, I'm just going to go until I can't see the city anymore and then cut off into the woods.
All right. So you do that, and you know it's a very beautiful planet. It's a lot of green. A lot of small lakes and stuff. Honestly, probably nothing that they would live in at first. Yeah. That close to Theed.
I mean, I'm gonna periodically stop. If they're somewhere pretty, roll around in the grass, jump in the water, get all dirty.
Yeah, and you see a bunch of wildlife as you're going through. Again, a bunch of those creatures we mentioned before, as well as some that kind of look like rabbits and deer like creatures that are just out and about. A lot of birds of various sorts, and you know it's a beautiful trip just through the woods of Naboo, and you go for a while, you camp out one night, you just kind of plop down in the woods and scamper up a tree, you kind of break some branches off, and
I've got that camo netting so I can just hammock,
and you get set up in a little makeshift kind of like hammock with like. Let's say you take like branches and stuff and build, kind of not necessarily like a whole little housing, but like you know, like a slant, like you would like, use something like that just to kind of keep yourself protected from possibly bigger threats of any sort.
Instinct.
The night passes. You know, you have a nice night out in the wilderness, kind of getting back to your roots. How are you feeling being back in the woods?
I'm liking it. It's peaceful. It's calm. It's weirdly open. I'm used to being kind of pinched in and boxed in. Not really super used to being let loose.
Yeah. So I imagine you're having kind of mixed emotions where there's the part of you that's like glad to be back in the wilderness, but another part of you that feels very vulnerable.
Vulnerable, also a little bored.
Yeah.
Like I've been pampering myself really hard, and now I've got dirt and mud stuck to my fur and in between my toes, and I can smell my own butt.
Yeah, you're not used to huffing it.
Yeah, I mean, even in the cage, I had air conditioning, so it's kind of hot. My taint's a little sweaty. It's not good, man.
So you spend that night, you sleep all right. The louder noises in the night wake you up, but you're not necessarily worried about, like, you know, being eaten or anything like that, because you know you can hold your own. But again, just that it's not the hum of the engine sort of stuff, you know, that the stuff that you're used to. So you spend the next day kind of just exploring around, and give me a survival check.
I can do that.
Ewok skills activate.
That is a 27.
All right, nice. With that 27, when you're climbing down, you're packing up all your stuff, and you're, I would say, like, you made like a little campfire and you fried up some Rhodian bacon or Twi'lek. No, yeah, Rhodian bacon's fine.
Yeah, I'm. My supplies are getting low. I haven't refilled anything in a while.
So you fry up some of the bacon and stuff, and you know, you have yourself a little breakfast. You clean that up, and then you smell something, and you recognize that smell.
What the fuck is that?
Definitely the smell of Gungans. And you get your stuff packed up. You get back on the speeder, and you kind of slowly start kind of just flying through the forest around you, and not long you come across some footprints. So give me what do you think? A perception check, maybe?
Survival is for tracking.
Survival for tracking. Let's do that.
That is a 23.
Okay. You can tell there's more than two of them, but there are some of those creatures that they ride on. There's a couple of footprints for them as well, and you can see that they're headed north through the forest.
Yeah, I'm going to go track them down.
All right. So you continue to follow the path and stuff.
How fresh is the...
A couple of hours old.
Okay.
So you're a little bit behind them.
Okay.
Even on the speeders, because they're on those beasts, so they're kind of matching you in pace. And they know the forest a little better, so they're probably, like...
Yeah.
They know how to move around. So it's nightfall again. You going to camp another night, or are you going to try to keep moving?
I'm not going to light a fire. I'm going to try and keep moving through the night.
Okay. So even though you're on the speeder, you're kind of moving at a slow pace, just because...
Yeah.
If you don't want to attract attention to yourself, you probably don't have a light on either. So you're probably going by, like, the moonlight, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
As the sun starts to rise the next morning, the following morning, you can smell them again. Give me another survival check.
15.
With that, you know that they're close, but you don't necessarily know what direction they're in.
Can I perception to catch the smell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing that.
26.
Okay, there you go. So with that, you can tell, not only do you smell them, but you can smell their fires, and you can smell something cooking. So you can tell that they've camped nearby. So you head that direction.
I'm going to dismount and stealth my way up.
Okay. So you kind of get as close.
I think I'm going to get up a tree and go through the treetops.
Okay. So you kind of get as close as you feel comfortable, and you get off, you cover the bike with, like, branches and stuff, and then you scurry up a tree, and you kind of make your way. And you're kind of at the clearing of the forest. Right in front of you is another lake. And you see five Gungans around a campfire. And they are cooking up some fruit and stuff to make some sort of breakfast meal for them. There's also some fish and stuff.
How far away are they from me?
I mean, you're up a tree. So let's say you're about 20 feet up. They're probably about 50 feet away.
Okay. Could I move on a branch to get closer, get within...
Yeah, just give me some stealth checks.
Stealthing it up. 26.
Nobody sees you.
All right. There's three of them crowded around the fire. As you get closer, you see there's one that's, like, very involved in, like, the cooking and stuff. There's two that are just sitting there kind of chatting lightly between each other. There's another one who is kind of, like, peeing off to the side. And then there's another one that is feeding the two beasts that are with them.
So how many are in close proximity to the fire?
Three.
I am going to force a thermal detonator right into the center of the fire.
All right.
And boom it. So here's that force. Over 30?
Yeah.
So they all go down on the condition track.
Okay.
And they all take 38 points of damage. And I'm going to stealth check again.
All right. Yeah,
so
do that.
For them to not know where that came from.
What was the stealth?
It was well over 30.
Okay, then yeah. So you drop, you force the thermal into the fire, and it just immediately goes off. The one that is bent over the fire just hit from, like, his abdomen up is just gone. It just is, it just splatters everywhere. The one that was, like, the closest sitting next to him, the bone fragment and the blast and, like, the pan and all the stuff that just shrapneled everywhere just tore him apart. So those two are gonzo. And then the third one there, who's on the other side of the fire, it kind of blasted at them. And while he did get hit, he is just knocked backwards, and he's burnt up like all over, but he is still kicking. He's still alive. At that point, the one who's peeing like whips around real quick, still has his whatever wiener out. His
whatever Gungans have.
Whatever his little Gungan pee-pee out. He has stopped peeing, though, but because they just... Whoop! Yeah.
Clenched it up.
But the one that was with the beast, they like rear up and like he like is feeding them is just like, what the shit? Can you give me one of the beasts is gonna kick that guy out of just being okay. Startled.
Five.
Okay.
It's not great.
Yeah. So he just kinda gets hit in the shoulder. Like he spins around at the explosion. The beast, one of them, again, just rears up and just hits him in the shoulder, but not very hard. It just not that it wasn't trying. It just the way it hit him, it didn't hurt him that much, but it got him in the shoulder. So he's like, "Ow!" And the other beast just takes off running. Just is gone. Just vanishes. So they don't know where that came from. So they're kind of all panicking. They think that maybe something was cooked wrong.
Must have been cooked real wrong.
Yeah, like they're like, you see them like the one that got knocked backward kind of like rolls over and he's kind of like, and the one that was peeing like is putting his junk up and he's like, what, you know, what the hell happened? I'm not doing a Gungan voice.
I'm not doing that stupid.
Oh, what's voice. Happened? And then the other one, you know, is like rubbing his shoulder, but running up, also trying to be like, you know, what the fuck?
Can I reach out and grab the beast that's still there with a move object or try to?
Yeah,
you can do it.
All right, I have the rules written down here.
It's large.
Yeah,
I'm gonna spend a force point to make this happen. 27. So then I'm gonna throw him at the guy that was peeing.
Okay.
So 27 against him.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be fun. 25 damage.
Oh, good God.
Okay.
Just thump to both of them.
Okay.
And I'm going to keep my grip on the beast.
Okay. So they're, he's knocked over. And he's got this huge beast on him. They both take a lot of damage. The beast is very panicked and kicking, but not moving because it can't move anywhere. And the guy's just like underneath him. One of them was like,
"This gods! Oh, no!"
All right, I'm just going to lift that beast straight up in the air and slam it right back down on top of him.
Okay.
Nat 20.
Okay, yeah, yes, that's
you
definitely
got it.
Oh, wow. That's 10d6.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, roll it.
Roll it up.
Yeah.
That's really satisfying.
I just want to mic this noise. Mm. That's a lot of dice. Mm-mm.
41 points of damage to both of them.
Okay. So when you do that, it just becomes a liquefied mess. His body just like explodes underneath the force of that beast landing on top of him. But then the force of the fall to the already injured beast causes its side to split open and its guts just to go everywhere.
Boo.
Yeah, just like a water balloon, just everywhere.
This is so cathartic.
So the other guy, because the dude that had the beast originally that got kicked by him, just and the other one that is like now sitting up. They got blown back. They're both just like just looking in absolute horror at just what just happened. Neither of them are like moving really. They're just in shock. But at this point, four more Gungans come running out of the woods from two come from like the north of them. Let's say like you're kind of to the south east of them, and then one comes from the west, and one comes from the east.
Are they all grouped up?
No. So you have the fire. You got the two guys that were on the west side of it. The one that was that got blown back was on the east side. The lake is to the north of that. That's where the beasts were. So that guy came running up. So he's kind of in the northeast part. Like they're all pretty close to the fire pit now that was there. Those two anyways that have survived. But the guy that got hit probably with this direction went west and then blew up over there. So there's like three dead bodies on the like west side of the fire. And there's two guys kind of in the eastern, like northeast and east.
There's no way I can still keep a grip on the dead beast. Is it just like liquid mess?
It's just liquid mess. I mean, you could probably, it's like spine and whatever remains intact with that. Just a glopping mess.
I'm going to try and hit, continue the grip and hit a cluster of them if there's like two or three.
There's two guys to the east, the one that ran out of the forest and the one that's sitting up.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get the two that are closest and just try and get them both with the spine.
Okay.
32.
Shit, yeah.
31 points of goopy spinal damage.
Jeez.
All right, so the first guy, the one that got blown backwards, you know, and he's struggled to sit up, that... That spine and pretty much from the beast like chest up is still all intact, and then the spine down to the hip and stuff is also still intact, but like its guts are gone. But you throw that at them, and that hits him so hard it just breaks him in half. Like he's still connected, but it just snapped his spine completely in half. And then it hits the other guy, and like. Takes him out of the legs, knocks him down prone.
Man, I should have been recording this for Thorben. He'd love this.
You've got, again, two guys to the north. You've got one to the northeast and one to the west. And they are all literally freaking the fuck out. There's only one person left from the original group that was there. And he
is fucked.
Is, like, pissing his pants. Like, he is absolutely terrified of what he's seen so far. An explosion, and then his friend gets smashed to death, and then his other friend just get broken in half, and then like he has reinforcements and they're all like, what's happening, and he just can't talk. He is just frozen in fear, watching stuff fly around the air. This is shit he's never seen before.
Can I do a group mind trick and do a Tarantino roar?
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to make a big loud scary noise come from the jungle. Not necessarily behind you, kind of off to the side.
Okay.
Like, my goal now is just scare them back in the water. All right. I'm just toying with them right now.
Okay.
That is a 31.
Yeah, that's way better than that.
Okay. I thought so. I just wasn't sure. All right. So you do that. And the four newcomers. Well, okay. One's prone. One's laying on the ground. So the three newcomers, they all pull. They have spears. What do they got?
Atlatls.
Sure. So they pull those out. They're looking to defend because they think a huge creature is nearby.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's freaking out is still just like, oh, the gods! They're angry!
I'm going to do another one from the other side of me off to the left.
Okay.
27.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they start backing towards the shoreline. The one who's freaking out is not moving. He is literally frozen in fear.
I'm going to grab him with a move object and just hurl him as hard as I can towards any of the ones that are backing towards the water.
Okay. Yeah, there's two that are headed towards the water that are probably the closest in proximity to it.
A lot.
Just
I get the 10d6 again.
Okay.
Shit, roll it.
Scared guy does 28 to himself and anyone else he hits.
He collides into all three, all two of them, and they they all hit the ground. He hits them pretty hard. But they are all still alive. They're just now even more scared. And that guy, like, the other guys are starting to, like, kind of get up and, like, kind of scramble more. He's just crying. You can clearly see that he has, in fact, pissed himself.
I'm just going to wait for them. I think I'm done toying with these guys. I'm starting to feel a little bad for them at this point. But, man, I'm going to just let them retreat.
Okay. So, the guy that came from the west, he just books it. He just is in the water faster than you can even, like, really see him go. Because none of that hit him. The two other guys, again, like a chieftain and another warrior, they just shuffle back, like, and scurry back and get up and just take off also. That one dude is still not moving. They tried pulling him to get him to move, and he's too scared. He's too scared to move. He just wants to play dead.
Just on the ground crying. Just...
Yeah. All right, I'm going to use my last move object to fling him as far out into the middle of the lake as possible.
Okay.
Okay.
32.
I feel like I still need damage because he's going to hit that water.
Shit ain't soft.
Yeah.
I kind of feel bad.
But he has a better chance of surviving now that he's in the water with his people.
Not hitting his friends.
Yeah. And they might see him land and they could go get him.
They can't drown, can they?
No.
They're amphibious.
Yes. Yeah, they're amphibious.
Oh, no. 24.
He did.
He,
neck
you,
first.
You see him, you throw him, and he goes out and he skips a couple of times off the. And you can see his head is lolling in a way that it is clear it is no longer connected to his spine. And then you just see his body. Like you see him stop, just kind of skid, and then sink down into the water.
Oh,
just,
what a waste.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But there are bodies. We already rolled this stuff from earlier. You grab what you can off of their remains to claim their stuff. So you take...
I just want to get enough Gunganeers to make a nice little, like, cloak.
Okay. You take 9 teeth, and you take 9 ears. The guy that was bent over the fire, like, you were able to find parts of his skull, and you found, like, a pretty intact ear, but the other one is just gone.
Just gone.
All right. So you...
I'm really content with my time in the woods. I think I'm going to go back.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to, like, stack all those things up on my speeder and, you know, not give a dang.
Okay.
I'm sure it's going to be a bloody mess all the way back to Theed.
Mm-hmm. You make it back in about another day and a half.
I'm going to spend one more night in the fancy hotel.
Yep.
And I'm going to do all of my field dressing and stuff in the fancy hotel room and get it all disgusting.
Okay.
And I'm not going to shower until I finish, so I'm just going to, like, sleep in the bed, roll around on the couch, just
get
disgusting.
Get everything filthy.
Yeah. They, you see there's an additional charge to your account or whatever when you get back for an additional, like, $1,500 because of all the stuff that, like, got, like, for the cleaning fee.
That's fair.
For, like, the new sheets, the new couch.
They had to bring in a crime scene cleaner to get that room clean.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't bring in a priest.
So you spend another night there, so that's another 1,000 credits for that night.
Another 2,500 down.
25, yep.
I'm going to call it an even 3 so I can tip.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to tip all of the crime scene cleaners.
I guess you call up Sawbone and you guys head back to Nalhutta for now.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Okay. Sweet. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Sorry we've been away for a while. You know how it is. Life and stuff and things. This is the last episode of this, like, little arc where everyone had their own adventures doing their own things. We hope you've enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for us to do. We did it all in a day, and it took 4 months for it to come out. Just kidding. It wasn't 4 months. It was, like, 2.5. Anyways, if you're a fan of the show,
and you're a fan of the Epic Geek Network, please go check out our other shows like Epic Geek, Divas Dropkicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts, and Garbage Day. You can also join us on Discord if you want to talk to us about the show or if you want to talk to us about a number of other things, such as maybe Star Wars Battlefront 2. That just came out. It's been a lot of fun. What else is there? Destiny 2. I'm just mentioning video games. We have a lot of video game chats. But also, you know, just about whatever. Anything. We're on there pretty much all the time. So you can always run into some of your favorite 8-bitters. 8-bit geek. 8-bit geek. Anyways, if you want to help support the show, you can buy an 8-bit Saga t-shirt over on 8bitgeek.threadless.com. We've got, obviously, our Saga t-shirt. We've got some other designs in the work that we are hoping to launch January-ish, maybe a little after, but around there. You can also get some shirts for, 8-Bit Geek and Divas Dropkicks and Dives and Brainberry, you know, all those shows, right? You can also support us over on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. You get bonus content. We have, like, videos from Alamo City Comic Con featuring Kev eating... a very hot ghost pepper. Not just Kev. Kevin and Kale, actually. He's in it, too. And some other friends. We've also have, like, the Kevisodas over there. So you can, you know, get a head start on that. And what else? There's just the 8-Bit Geek every week. We have a pre-show and post-show. So if you're used to listening to our normal episodes that are about an hour, these are only about an hour and a half, 2 hours long, because there's some stuff before and after the actual podcast that's, I think, fun to listen to. Make sure to check us out on Facebook at the 8-Bit Geek, on Twitter at 8bit_saga. And if you tweet using hashtag 8bitsaga, we will name a character after you. I don't think there's anybody that's named after anybody in this current arc. I believe there are like two or three people in the next arc that we will be getting to soonish. But we did have a character named after someone in the 8-Bit Horror Fest episode. So if you listen to that, there was a character named there. So we do name... random NPCs and also sometimes enemies after listeners. So go check that out. As of right now, let's see. This will be coming out on Friday. It's Wednesday now. It's the 15th, 16th, 17th. So this will be on the number 17th, which means that the next episode should be out on December 1st. So the next episode should be out on December 1st, which I know is a bit away, but... we've also recorded a holiday episode, which will be out later in December. So keep an eye out for that. I think that's really about it. I think that's everything I've got to talk about. I've been recording for way too long now. Man, I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Please let us know if you are. And again, make sure you share. That's one of the biggest ways that we advertise. So just by word of mouth. So just, you know, let people know about the show and whatnot. Yeah, let's get to it. I'm going to shut up now. I believe this is now Mark and Obi's adventure, so let's get to it. Okay, so I'll give you the same rundown after you guys... solve the murder of Numdris. You guys have time to do some things on your own. You guys still do some missions for Verbot, going and fetching items for him. But there's also some downtime where you're able to do things on your own. You've been traveling with these dudes for like 2 months at this point. And finally you have a chance to not...
get some free time to yourself.
Yep. And we talked a little bit about what you were going to do. One of the things you said you were going to do was get a statue of Willie Rowe made.
Yeah.
So you get that made. You spend about 70,000 credits on it. You do get the rest of the crew to pitch in, so it's not out of your pocket, 70,000. But you do still pay a good chunk of that right. For the opening of his casino. Another thing you wanted to do was you talked about wanting to open a food truck. So... you find yourself one day, you're on Nalhutta. You make your way down to the Harbor Master, and you see Camden Toydarian. And he's like, hey, it's my Jedi friend.
Hey, Cam-Tam.
That's not my favorite, but I like you. How can I help you today?
Well, I don't know. I'm like So I was sitting there thinking about like stuff one night. I remember back when I was doing a mission and stuff, and I got some cheese out, and I put it on the and I was eating it during a mission, and I was like, man, it'd be fun to like do food stuff. So I was thinking like opening my own food store or something.
Okay, how can I help you?
Well, like, I thought maybe it has to be like on like, you know, portable and stuff. So maybe you have do you have like a ship or something?
We've got a couple of used ships. I could probably. I mean, do you need a ship?
I don't know. Let me think about it. A ship would be big. I mean, enough place for like a restaurant or something. That'd be nice, but fuel cost and upkeep and You know what? Maybe I don't know. Like maybe something smaller.
Okay. We got a couple like speeders that, you know, it's they're smaller.
Okay.
You can put them on like a ferry ship, and if you need to go off planet, but you know, they're, you know, a couple of spaces for like three or four people.
People could like stand outside and eat and stuff. On the street.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Let's go look at my inventory.
Okay, cool.
So he takes you through like an area where they have some used speeders. They don't have a whole lot. There's only like a couple, but there's one that catches your eye. It's like the perfect size. It's an AA5 speeder truck.
Ooh, that's a nice one right there.
Yeah, it's one of the nicer ones we got. I mean, it's from what it sounds like. This may be perfect for you. You can retrofit the inside. You could put like a kitchen in there, but then you've also got some places like for a couple of bunks. So you know, if you do need to take this on the road, you know, your people can sleep there.
Okay.
And stuff.
Does it fit enough? You think it's nice enough for like a date or something?
I mean,
you bring a girl back or something?
you could. I mean,
okay.
Listen, if you're charismatic enough, you know. You could probably take the ladies anywhere.
Do you think, I could fit like a squeen or something?
Like a what?
A squeen.
A squeen?
A squeen.
What's a squeen?
You know, something where you play the movies on.
Oh, a screen.
Yeah, a squeen.
Okay, well, maybe not on the inside. You could probably put like a nice little hollow projector in there, but you know, 60 inches, not going to get much bigger than that.
Just thinking big.
Okay, I mean, if you want a little bit bigger, you know, on the outside, you know, that's a bigger surface. You could like have like a little movie night outside.
Oh, I could do like on one side I could serve the food, and then on the other I could just play all my movies.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what type of movies you're in. I'm hoping that they're family friendly and not some sort of like weird kinky shit.
Oh no, you've never seen Transformers?
No.
Space Transformers?
No, I kind of live. You know, here and work here. I mean, my life revolves around ships. I don't make it to the movies a whole lot.
Okay,
they're not my thing. You know, I'm really into audio novellas.
Oh well, you just shut your eyes and the whole story comes to you. It's wonderful.
Okay, I mean, I've never had that experience before, but maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, I could get you a copy.
Okay,
of the whole set.
There's more than one.
There's seven. That's six. Seven, I forget.
That's one of those. That's a lot of. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's just one of my movies I've been in. There's so many more. If you want drama and romance and action and adventure and drama and action.
I feel like you're just repeating yourself now.
It's a lot.
That sounds like three genres that you've been in.
It's awesome.
Okay, sure. But back to the ship. So you like the AA5 speeder truck.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Okay.
How beat up is it?
Well, if you look, we got this used one here. You know, it could use a little work getting fixed up and stuff and the renovations. You know, if you're already paying for that, you know, you can pay a little bit more just to also get the outside looking nice, too. We've got one that's like about 7,500 credits, about 7,500. We got another one that's about 9,000 credits. And those are our used ones. We do have some brand spanking new ones, but those, you know, they're brand new. If you want the low end, which is just kind of, you know, like cloth seats and stuff, that's only like 13,000. Okay. But if you want super nice, you know, leather seats, real nice bright interior, you know, it's got all the bells and whistles. You're looking at like 30,000 credits.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what if I mean, can we make a deal or something?
Maybe. Okay. What are you looking at?
Well, like, you know, you do something for me and I do something for you.
Okay. What do you have to offer for me?
I don't know. Nothing. I'm a Jedi. I got nothing.
Yeah.
But like, what if like I'm in space or something?
Uh-huh.
And there's like some junk or something?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, this would be good to bring back, you know, and then I could bring that back to my naughty dog and like you could just like use it.
But you don't have anything now.
What's that?
But you don't have anything to offer me like right now.
Well, I've got those.
Like a possibility of something that may or may not happen.
I've got those movies.
Well, yeah, but those are like what, maybe 15 credits each? I mean, you're looking at 7 of those. You know what I mean? That's only like 105 credits.
Right.
Okay. You want me to knock 105 credits off the cost of something?
One more?
I need more. I need than you know, because pretty much speak two languages. I mean, that's a 3A, technically. You're a basic Tordarian, and then money.
Okay. Well, let me see here. Hold on. Reach into my pockets.
Uh-huh.
And start rattling around. And okay. I've got a spray bottle. I've got some rope. I've got a glow rod. I've got two of those. That's about it. Oh, nope. I got a couple energy balls. I could trade those.
No.
Oh, I've got some Clem.
No.
Have you ever had a Clem burger?
I haven't. Okay. Safe to say.
Tell you what. What if I gave you 1% in my new business?
I mean, I also don't know what you want. Like, we've got like 4 ships here. We've got like the
well,
the,
I mean,
the
that's
junker.
The thing. It's
we've
like,
got like the mid-size, you know, medium kind of
yeah.
All right, but used. We've got the one that's above that that's brand new that's still just kind of pretty basic, but you know, if you're talking reno cost, not a bad deal. And then you got the super nice super fly one.
It'd be good to get like the super fly one, but I'm thinking maybe I start medium-ish.
Okay.
So that way I build up to maybe the nice one.
Okay.
And start doing like multiple ones. Because
yeah.
Like you could be my dealer for like all of them, right?
Yeah.
And then I could just get like one here and put one over there and like just have one on like almost every corner. And then I could really go off planet with them
yeah.
And like do some like I could like go to Coruscant and like that's a whole nother banging business over there.
Yeah.
And I could get like 4 or maybe 5 of the banger ones, the good ones that you're talking about. And then like. So maybe just the medium one.
Okay. All right. So. Again, there's you want the high end used or the low end new?
What's that?
The high end used,
okay,
which is the 9,000 credits,
okay,
or the low end new, which is about 13,000.
What's the difference?
Well, the new one you won't have to spend any money doing like the outside, except for maybe putting your logo
okay.
And all that stuff.
So, how much would it cost me total? To go with, like, the $9,000 one and then fix everything and renovate it and all that kind of stuff. Can you do all that?
We'll do all of it.
How much?
What all do you want to put inside?
Like a kitchen.
Okay.
And I want to put, like, napkins. And I got to get, like knives and forks.
Okay. For the inside renovation, you're looking at about another 4,000 credits.
Okay.
And then... So you're not doing anything to the outside except maybe the logo. The logo will be like 150. It's not that much. And then, you know, you could probably keep the bunks and stuff the way they is.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be fine.
I want a bit of put a big burger on the top of it.
Okay. We'll have to get that outsourced and made. Guessing probably around 400 credits.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Okay. What if I put a voice box in there that says, like, come to my burger shop?
It was quite the ditty.
You know, 500 credits for the speaker, and then like if you need like a little audio system to kind of play that, like on a loop or something, you know, about 500 credits.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, how much for the big one? 30.
Well, that one's the
30 credits.
What, 30,000 credits for the nice one?
Okay. And do I still have to renovate that one for all the stuff?
The inside, yes. But, you know, again, you can kind of keep the living area, the little where the bunks are and all that stuff. So you're still looking at about, you know, 4,000 for the kitchen stuff all in there and
you
all
know
that
what?
Stuff.
Let's go all out. You know what? I want to attract all the companies and businesses.
Okay.
And I want to, like, get all the good, like, all the peoples of that. So if I go big, you know, it's got to look good. I can't just be, like, the trash on the side of the road.
Okay. So, we'll get you all that stuff totaled up. So it's 30,000 credits for the new one.
Okay.
And then 400 credits for the burger on top. Mm-hmm. another 500 for the audio system.
Uh-huh.
The logo was 150.
Not bad to start a little business there.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah, it's way cheaper than what Ross is doing.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take those credits out of your, how much you have.
Mm-hmm. You still have like a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's like a drop in the bucket.
Account for about 12,000 credits a month for food and supplies and
staff.
Mm-hmm. It's about how much you'll be paying for all that stuff. So make a note of that somewhere you'll remember it. Or like, you know, if you hold on that note card, that's fine. Just
I'll make it over here.
Yeah. And so we can do some rolls, see how much you make, and then just make sure you take that 12,000 out of it every time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, should I take it out right now? For my first month of
yeah, go ahead and
getting you started.
Yeah. For your startup cost. You hire 4 staff members that will drive it around Nalhutta, I guess, in Bilbusa for the first or couple of months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, again, you can, if you want it to go off world, it can go anywhere.
Right.
So if you think like outside the Jedi Temple in Coruscant would be a better place, that's fine.
I'd like to, of course, set it up for the grand opening to coincide with the grand opening of the casino.
Okay. So it's parking across the street?
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm sure Ross is going to love that. during this time, Willie makes it very well known to you that he never wants to see that just left outside of his casino, and if it's ever left there unattended, he'll tow it.
Yeah, but I mean, he owns it, like, he doesn't own across the street, so...
That's not going to stop him from calling somebody if that car's left or the truck's left there.
I'd like to talk to the owner of the business
that's
across the street and get permission to
get a straight up permit. Yeah, so if somebody tries to come and tell you, you're like, no, I got a permit.
Yeah, I'd like to get permits that it's on the outside of my store that allows me to be anywhere on that street.
Yeah, the person across the street's not like, nah. I don't know, man. I kind of got my own thing going here. You know,
fair enough. I would like to park it.
Yeah, because it's a burger restaurant. Just kidding.
I'd like to park it catty corner to the casino then.
Yeah, it's just like kind of down the street a little ways.
I'd like to, no, you know what? Put me, yeah, just right down the street. Just mm-hmm. So that way
It's in like eye shot. Yeah, you can definitely see it. It's just like right there. Line of sight. But it's not directly out front, so Willie can't be too mad.
But I would like to have those little...
The inflatable people?
The inflatable people.
Okay. Those are 200 credits a piece.
That's fine. It's a grand opening.
Yeah.
They're shaped like Jabba's. The Hutts.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. It's going to take them... It'll probably take them about a month to get that fixed up and mm-hmm. the installation and it passed, like, all, you know... Everything
inspections.
Needs. Yeah, to make sure that it's street legal for mm-hmm. a kitchen to drive down the road. I'm sure there's stuff for that. And then probably some food and safety stuff it needs to pass too.
Mm-hmm.
Because while the Hutts don't have a lot of stuff regulated, food they do. Because
they love it.
They love that food.
Regulation
they have.
I think I should reach out to the Hutts as well and offer them, when I get after it's built, mm-hmm. I'd like to cater a private party for them for just to show them what I got.
Okay.
And to announce my menu.
Okay. So you're going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. This particular event happens a little bit later. It's after the launch of the casino. So you've already had a couple of your big opening night out there also. We'll tell you how much you made that month. At the opening that night, you talk to Verbot because he's there. And you tell him what you're doing, and he kind of is just like...
Always about food, huh? Just... It's always food with you.
I love to eat.
Hey. Look at me. Me too.
I know. So I figured, you know, you and I haven't had the the best of times. You know, we've had a rocky start and stuff. And so I figured, you know, maybe this creates a little bond between us.
It's possible.
You know?
If your food's good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Is it?
You want to try it?
Yeah. How about in a couple of weeks we'll have the hut meeting. Another meeting of the huts. It's a small one, private one between the five families.
Yeah.
Bring your food.
Okay. I'll cater it.
All right.
How much do you need? Like all of it?
Like all, everything you can muster.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Bro, there's five of us. Look at us.
All right. And I'll announce my, like, I've got a menu, and I've been working really hard at it.
Okay.
And so I'm going to let you know what I got. And then I'll bring it in, and you guys can sample it and eat it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty excited about it.
That day, for all the food and stuff, mm-hmm. you're going to buy a little more than normal.
Right.
So go ahead and just just take another 500 credits out for just food
mm-hmm.
for that day specifically.
Okay.
So you show up with your four workers. You've got, what do you think? Who what type of people would you like to hire?
I think it'd be fun to have a Rodian.
Okay. Like all Rodians, or do you want like a Rodian and a Twi'lek? And
I'd like to have maybe a couple Twi'leks, because what fun banter to have those fucking, their little things get in the way all the time. Like yep. smacking the Rodians in the face.
Okay. So you and your crew, the two Twi'leks and the two Rodians, they tell you what time to get there, like mm-hmm. when they're going to break for dinner and stuff. So you get there a little bit early and you roll in, like I'm thinking like push carts, but like, you know, with a bunch of food on it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're hovering because it's Star Wars. So you push those in, you and your crew, and you've just got all your food there. And you kind of wait outside their meeting area for a few minutes. And then, like, the doors open from the kind of atrium area that you're waiting in. And you guys go in, and you go down those stairs, and you push the cart up in front of the five huts that mm-hmm. are there. And they're all looking eagerly at the food and, like, looking to you. And Verbok is like,
"All right, Mark, what you got?"
Hey, what's hey?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hey. And I'm fumbling around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Hey, hey everybody. What's going on?
They all greet you kind of just with a couple of like, "Hi."
Okay.
Hello.
Let me take a moment to introduce you to the newest business of this wonderful planet, and it's called welcome to Mock. Welcome to Kenobi Burger.
Okay.
Okay. So we've got a great menu for you tonight. Okay. We got a Kenobi beef burger signature. And then we got a Clem dog. It's awesome. It's going to be really good. We also have, Tatooine tots. And we got Bantha Blitz fries. And then also we got Butterballs. Also, we have a monthly special that we're running right now. And it's called the Nuda Shooter Sliders. And those are a tasty treat. So, guys, go ahead and serve everybody.
Okay. Your crew, they take the carts that they've been pushing. And you take the one that you have also. And you guys walk around near the huts. And they pick like a couple of everything, and they're all eating it. How do you think they'd like it?
The huts?
Yeah.
Dude, they're fatties. They love it.
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Is it good food? Is it like, I mean, I don't want this to, it's not a goof. It's not like real shitty food. It's like actually like pretty decent. Like,
yeah, it's like, pretty, like I've spent
like food, like food truck food.
Truck,
food.
Like
yeah.
food truck food.
It's something that you would think like might be on a TV show.
A certain TV show.
Okay. So they scarf it down, and they're all pretty excited for it and stuff, and they like it. And they're trying to think of one of their names, the one who didn't die.
It's Beaufort, Gouda, and Gorgonzola. Yeah.
They all the three of them ask for a card for you. Gouda's like,
"You know, I've got some like nephews who've got birthdays coming up, and it would be, you know, really nice to have some food there for the kiddies. And this is like perfect food, you know what I mean? Like burgers and tots."
Yeah,
it's the best.
Yeah. Here's a little holo card.
So you hand them like your information, and they all take something. Maybe private catering stuff.
Yeah, and like if you guys like it a lot, I'd love to do like a monthly special named after all of you.
So they all like not in, like excitement. They're really into that idea.
Yeah, and you can craft your own. You can craft your own burger for the month.
All right. So they're all really into the idea. They eat all of the food. Like, you know, they just sampled everything before. Mm-hmm. They're calling over their favorite thing, and they're, you know, I want more of that, and I want more of that, and soon it's all gone. And they're content, and they're happy, and they say thank you, and they need to get back to their meeting. So they have some Gamorreans that kind of, not like forcefully, but they're like, okay, and they show you out. And it was very well received.
Yes, you guys did good, okay.
They're all like really excited, and like the Twi'lek is like really pumped. He's like, yeah, I was like swinging his head back and forth, and he hits the Rodian next to him in the face with his Leku, and the Rodian's like, hey, man. Your fucking head, man.
Hey, keep it together, okay? We're professionals over here.
Oh, sorry. And they all like straighten up, adjust the bow ties that they have on, and they push the carts back out to the truck that's waiting outside, and you guys go off and enjoy the rest of your night. We'll do 3 months of how much you made those 3 months.
Okay.
And again, remember to subtract the monthly 12,000 from it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So your first month, you made $84,000 that month, and your second month, only 70,000.
Okay.
And then your third month, hell yeah, there you go. You made 140.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're doing good. It's profitable.
It's a good business.
Yeah, you're doing well. So that's what's happening with your food truck. In that time, you pop over to Nar Shaddaa. You're at the casino one day. You're just hanging out with the crew. You guys are just hanging out. And you notice a bartender on staff that you haven't seen in a couple months.
Oh? Uh-huh.
That's specifically since your time on Tatooine.
Oh, my heart's fluttering.
And behind the bar is Ants, and she's there. And unlike the last time you saw her here, she's busting ass. She's working. She's not there on her data pad, like, goofing off. She actually seems to be enjoying working here for a change. Seems that she's had a change of heart since, what's his name was in charge? Oldrig. Yeah.
My hands are sweaty.
Yeah.
And I'm real nervous, but I walk up to the bar and wonder if she notices me.
She does. It's like the middle of the afternoon, and there's not a heavy crowd. There's like maybe three or four of the people at the bar. There's more people at the tables and at the slot machines, but there's only just a couple of people at the bar. And so she puts the glass up, and she turns around, and she sees you, and you see the recognition. You know, she recognizes you. You see it in her face. Like, she's like, oh, hey.
And I just stare at her with my eyes wide open.
She's like, can I help you with something? You need a drink, Mark? Like,
you remember my name?
Of course I remember your name.
Hi, Ants.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm working.
Okay. How you been?
Good. You know, I worked with Mardosh for a while over on Tatooine, and it was really hot. It was not great, but, you know, I liked working with Mardosh and his crew, and then he recommended me come work here under Verbok and Willie Rowe at this casino, and, well, it does suck to be back here. Like, they turned this place around. This is,
Yeah, I mean, Willie put a fresh coat of paint on this place.
Yeah, probably a couple.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks really great in here. It's really nice, the lights. And so, is it hot in here?
No, actually, I'm a little cold. I mean, they keep it pretty cold.
It's been a long time, huh?
I mean, a couple months.
Yeah. Can I get a water?
she grabs, like, the glass that she had just cleaned. Pulls it back out. She uses the little hose thing or whatever it's called and just
I drop it instantly and it breaks. Can I get another water?
You hear the, you know, it shatters and you see Willie poke his head out from the back. He sees you and he just like looks at you with utter disdain. And then he just, it's that slow slide back into the office, never breaking eye contact.
And I just,
and you just slowly see his head just slowly disappear.
Just give him like an awkward wave.
Yeah. He pops back up.
Hey.
And then slowly disappears. And then he pops back up one more time and he's like, you owe me for that. And then he disappears again. He's going to make you pay for that class.
Well, yeah.
And she's just sitting in the middle of this, just like, what the fuck is happening?
It was great last time seeing you.
You know, it was all right.
Yeah, I mean,
you had a good time. I'm not saying I didn't, but you seem to have a quicker, better time.
Ooh. I mean, it was like I spent a lot of time alone. I'm a Jedi.
Listen, sure.
I'm out of practice.
I understand. Yeah. You don't have to say like, anymore.
Can I make it up to you?
In what?
Well, I mean, not like that again. Well, maybe, yeah, like that again. Well, no, not like that. Okay, so, like, can I just, like, a date?
She kind of gets your face like, and she just, like, nonchalantly grabs a shot glass from behind her. And you just see her again, not breaking eye contact, grabs a bottle of Corellian whiskey, fills it up, slams it back, fills it up again, slams it back, and it's like, sure. Pops the cork back in, or the top, whatever, puts it back on, and then she puts the shot glass back in the sink. And it's just like, sure.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I get off at 8. Just meet me here at 8, and I don't know. You better fucking wow me.
Oh, I'm going to wow you until your socks fall off. It's going to be... Okay. I got to go.
I race back to the
such
ship.
A ladies, man.
Not very good at this. I race back to the ship, and I take a shower. And I get my nicest Jedi robes out.
Yeah.
And I steam them. Real nice.
Yeah. PM15's there, and he's like, hey, Mark. What are you?
Hey, come over here. Give me some starch.
What?
I need some starch right now.
He, like, just is like, what? Like kind of back and forth with his hands up, like, I don't starch.
I grab his metal head, and I go, you need to find me some starch.
He, kind of like, okay, and like he quickly walks off the ship.
No, you dummy, it's right there.
Yeah, he's gone. He didn't know you wanted starch like for your robes, I guess. He's just gone. he's gonna go hit up a store and try to find some starch. He's just gonna get some.
Okay, so I get everything prepped and pressed and everything.
Yeah.
I contact the local flower shop and I order like 6 dozen whatever roses, flowers that they have. So, and then I make a reservation at the nicest restaurant in town.
Okay.
And then I want to set up a private fireworks show.
Okay.
For after dinner, at the spaceport, so we can watch the ships take off and land.
While there's fireworks going off,
well, in the background.
Okay,
it's real grand.
Okay, so you have to Verbuck for this, and he's kind of like kind of the same thing, like
at the space docks.
Well, do you know a better place?
And then he's like,
okay, how about we set them out a couple of miles? We'll let the air traffic control know what's going on, so the people don't think they're being shot at while they're trying to land their ship. But if you're at the space dock, you should be able to see them while the ships are coming.
No, I want to be at the top of the space dock.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can watch the ships coming in, and then in the distance in the background will be fireworks.
Give me 1 second. I make a call to, I need a live band. as well.
Okay.
Up on top of the spaceport.
Uh-huh.
Just, I gotta go all out. And so I need, like, I need the nicest, like, dwinks and everything.
Okay. So Verbok helps you get a lot of the stuff, like, he contacts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you find, like, a band. It's just, it's kind of, not almost, it's not a mariachi band, but it's kind of the same thing where it's mm-hmm. just, it's like the Bith band from Star Wars. Yeah, it's a bunch of Bith,
mm-hmm.
And they play all those weird instruments, but mm-hmm. it's not the Cantina song. It's something, it sounds a little more romantic.
Mm-hmm.
He helps you get the fireworks set up and paid for it, and like a rush job to get them out there and ready to go. And then, what else did you want? I needed the flowers. What else?
I needed the drinks as well.
Okay, yeah, so, and then he gets some of his staff to do bottle service. At about 8 o'clock, you roll into the casino, and you don't see her anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, walk up to the bar, and one of the other servers, hey, you need anything?
Yeah, I'm looking for Ants.
She's in the back. She'll be out in a second.
Okay.
Anything else I can help you with?
No, that's it.
All right. It's good seeing you, Mark.
What? And
you hang out with Willie. You're there all the time.
Yeah. I'm not in the right state of mind.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Not...
Who?
Me. You.
I? Okay, yep. Yep, that's me.
Yep. So she comes out a couple minutes later, and she's changed. She's out of her, like, work attire. She's in, like, kind of her casual clothing. Because she didn't go into work anticipating having a date tonight. So she's just kind of in whatever people were in Star Wars. Kind of, she's kind of got, like, a tunic thing going on with, like, a belt. Mm-hmm. And, like, the pants sort of thing tucked into, like, the big boots mm-hmm. and stuff. And her hair's has been let out. It was in a ponytail before.
My eyes are just wide, and I just... You're the essence of beauty.
She kind of, like, gives you an awkward... Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, what are we doing?
Oh, well, I've got a great night planned, okay? First, we're going to go and get some food, and it's at a very nice restaurant.
Okay. What's the name of the restaurant?
What's that?
What, I'm asking you as the DM, what's the name of the restaurant?
I was like... It's a- Rudy's?
Okay, sure. So, you take her, to, like, one of the, like, skyscraper buildings that's there, in on the top floor, overlooking, all of the city and surrounding area is this restaurant called Rudy's. And it is, it's a pretty nice place. Rudy is, a basilisk, you know, like, the multi-armed guys, like, that was, Dax from episode 2, the one mm-hmm. that Obi-Wan goes and sees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Rudy. And he's in the kitchen. You can hear him in the back. And he's just like, you know, order up. And, you know, just mm-hmm. being the cook there. So you guys get in. There's not a lot of seating. It's like super exclusive. But Verbok helped you pull some strings and he got you a seat there that night. So the maitre d' takes you to your seat, hands you like a wine list. And,
what would, whatever she wants.
You guys look over the menu and you guys place your orders. And so she's just kind of sitting there. She's like got a glass of wine and is just kind of sipping it. Kind of, she feels kind of out of place. You can kind of see it mm-hmm. the way that she's holding herself because it's really nice. And like people are like in their like Sunday best in Star Wars best, whatever that is. And like, you know, she's there in just like a tunic, just kind of like taking drinks and kind of looking around at everyone, kind of feeling a little awkward.
Listen, I know that, like, you, I don't know, it doesn't matter, like, you, hi, are you okay?
Well, I just, I kind of, this is my fault, a little bit. I told you to blow me away, but I wasn't prepared to come to someplace this nice, so I feel a little underdressed, and I can tell that people are looking at me. Because, like, you know, you clearly put a lot of time into your outfit. I mean, that...
I can barely move.
It doesn't move. You've been very stiff all night. And, you know, I just... This is what I put on this morning before I went to work. You know, like, uh-huh. I didn't know I was going to be going out someplace really nice tonight, so I feel very underdressed.
I can understand. Well,
And you're calm. All of a sudden, you hear... Yep.
Hey, Mark, listen, it's your boy Pian. Listen, so I went and I hit up all the stores and I couldn't find any starts. So, like, I took the ship. I took the two-hour flight over to Hutt City. I was finally able to find some starts. But when I got back, you were gone. I was told that you were going to be with Verbuck. When I got there, you were there. And they said you were at the florist. So I went to the florist, but you weren't there. Verbuck told me you had a dude that did fireworks. So I went over there, but you weren't there either. And he said that after that, you then went and were trying out bands. So I went to the studio space, but you weren't there either. So then I went from the studio space to where they said you were going to be. Was at the liquor store with the bottle service dudes picking out wine, but you weren't there. They said then you were going to go over to the casino, and I got to the casino, but I got there, and they just said that you just left to go to Rudy's, so I tried to get into Rudy's, but apparently they don't serve droids here, so I'm outside. I've got, like, 3 bags of starch. I don't really... Do you still need this? Because I could maybe bring these up, but, like, I don't know what to do with this now.
That was so good.
Listen, I'm on a date right now?
You're on a date?
Yeah. With a girl?
Why did this start?
I just asked you to pass me the starch.
What?
There was starch on the ship. Listen.
Just dead silence on his end. Just, you can't see it, but you know that he's just standing there with 3 bags of starch in his hands or whatever. And it's just like...
I'm sorry, but I gotta get back to this date, okay? Oh, maybe you can help me though. I'm really questioning Bunny here for a second. So, like, maybe if you could help me, if you could listen into this date and maybe give me some pointers, that'd be great.
I mean, it's not really in my programming, but, you know, Verbuck told me that I'm here to serve you guys, so whatever you need, let me just put these back on the ship now. I'll be listening in. I'm just gonna walk back to the ship.
Okay.
All the way back over to the spaceport. I wonder if they'll do returns.
So Ants, sorry about that. PN had a question.
She is looking off and like taking a drink. She's like, what?
So I just wanted to say, like, I think you're very beautiful and more beautiful than any of the women's here. Okay? And like, it doesn't matter what they're wearing because you stand out. Okay? And it's just me and you and I'm not worried about them, and you shouldn't be either.
She was still kind of speechless. Like, she doesn't really know what to say. Like, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So, you know, I don't really know much about you. Yeah. What about you?
Well, I don't really care to talk about my past too much. I mean, I, you know, kind of your typical life from someone from Dantooine. Just grew up on the farms out there and went to university and left planet.
Yeah.
And then kind of from there just traveled the galaxy and mostly just doing like bar jobs because no one really hires anybody with degrees anymore. It's all about experience. But how are you supposed to get experience if you can't get a job straight out of college with
a
degree that you've been spending 4 fucking years getting hundreds of thousands of credits and but they want you to have 7 years of experience to get a goddamn entry-level job. So I've been doing a lot of bar work.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, like, that I was in the same experience, okay? Like, I remember the first time I couldn't get work, okay? Being an actor. And all of a sudden, you know, I worked real hard. It was like 2 months of, like, real intense, like filling out applications and stuff. And, I mean, I didn't get a side job, but I thought about it. And then I got, like, that movie star role. And, you know, that first 1,000,000 credits rolled in, and it was real tough until then. Those 2 months was, I was almost on the street, but my family helped me a lot and stuff and put me up in an apartment and everything and paid for it. But I understand fully.
She, again, just is looking at you. It's kind of nodding. Kind of not wide-eyed, like, in surprise, but wide-eyed and just like the, okay. And just downs that glass, puts the glass down. Waiter. And just points at the glass. Just more. And they come over, they fill her glass
more.
Up immediately.
Please, more. Oh, so much more.
So not long after your food comes out, we'll do a roll to see how the food comes out. It comes... the orders are right, but She doesn't really eat her. She orders like a salad. She just kind of, you know, moves it around the plate and doesn't eat. She takes a couple of bites, but doesn't really eat a whole lot.
You're not hungry?
It's just okay.
Oh. I'm sorry. Do you want to order something else?
No.
You. Okay. Well, I mean, do you want any dessert or anything? Or?
No.
Oh. Do you just want to go?
I mean, let's see what else you've got planned for tonight.
Okay.
Well, maybe something to, you know, again, I'm not super comfortable in here right now.
Right. Well, okay. I've got some, I got a real good plan right now, okay? Come on over. Let's go. Follow me. Oh, shit.
So you pay the bill, and for that restaurant, it's 200 credits.
Okay.
For that dinner. What's up? What's next?
We're gonna take you to the spaceport. I got something real special planned.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys go into the spaceport, and you go to the elevator to the roof access. Verbalk has worked it out for you guys to be able to reach the roof. And, you don't have any issues. You walk in, and security lets you through, and you guys get on the elevator that takes you up to the roof. You guys go up there, and out there is two chairs and, like, a little table with, like, a bucket with two bottles of some sort of wine sticking out with two wine glasses. And there's some flowers. There's the all the bouquets and stuff that you bought. Or there's, like, one in the center of the table, and then there's, like, two on little pedestals kind of.
I just look at her face to see what reaction she had.
And it's all candlelit. And she walks out and, again, wide-eyed, like, oh, shit. Like, this is a lot of work into this. Like, what? But you can see in this a little more, she's more relaxed about this. Like, this being away from people in a super fancy environment and being treated more like this is more her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's feeling this. So while she looks wide eyed, like oh shit, you can still see like the appreciation in her look.
Have a seat.
And so you guys walk up to the table, and do you pull her seat out for her?
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled a one.
No, no.
No. So she goes to sit down, and you go to help her by pulling her seat out to help her sit down. She doesn't know this.
Oh, no.
So you pull the seat out, and she just busts her ass right on the ground.
Oh, God.
Just falls down.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. She's like, ow, fuck. I'm like holding her tailbone.
I'm so, so sorry.
She landed right on it, and she's like, ow. No, it's all right. It was very sweet of you.
I should have get the seat.
I should have been. You know what? I should have.
Here, let me wipe you off.
I was a little. Okay, you don't have to touch my butt that much.
Oh.
And she's like, I was a little just shocked by all of this. And for whatever reason, I didn't in my head think that you would be that chivalrous to pull my seat out for me. And I should have, based on this, it's my fault. I just, when you said take a seat, I went to take a seat. And I didn't realize you were going to help me take a seat. And so that's on me. That's my bad.
Yeah, I mean, I was standing right behind you.
Okay, but that doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
So you guys sit down, and a sort of waiter-like person comes up that's, like, one of the people that's doing the bottle service, and you know, they pull out the first, like, it's like a white wine, and they tell you what it is, wherever it's from. This one's from Dantooine, and kind of explains a little bit. He puts it back up. He pulls out a red wine, and he's like, this one's actually from here. It's a local one. Can I interest either of you in one of these?
Whatever the lady's having.
At the mention of Dantooine, she perks up a little bit. And she selects the white wine and proceeds to have that.
I noticed that she, you know, she still hasn't eaten. Mm-hmm. So I call PN15 on the comm.
Uh-huh.
Hey, PN?
How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man. I don't know how it's going. I mean, a couple good things, a couple bad things, but I need you to do me a favor.
I heard her bust ass.
Oh, you heard that?
Yeah, I mean, I audibly heard her fall and bust ass.
Whoopsies, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but shit happens.
Can you do me a big favor?
What do you need?
Okay, can you go down to my food truck?
Okay.
And can you grab me one Kenobi beef burger?
Uh-huh.
One Bantha Blitz fries?
Okay.
And then bring some butterballs.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure thing.
Thanks.
So while he's doing that, he goes to your truck and he brings it back. It's going to take about 30 minutes to go get it and bring it up to you. What are you doing in the meantime?
You know, I brought you here because I spent a lot of time by myself. And when I got out, you know, I saw a spaceport for the first time when I met up with the guys. And I just sat there for a little while watching the ships take on and take off. And there's something really romantic about looking up into the stars and then seeing the ships go off into flight. And I thought that would be nice.
She kind of nods at, you know, like listening in agreement. And she's like, you know, that's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And you guys just kind of sit there for a little while in silence, just kind of watching the sun set and the ships coming and going. And then, you know, about 30 minutes past, you guys have some light chatter, just talking about this and that, whatever. And PN15 shows up with the food. Even though he doesn't drop anything, you guys are having like a nice moment. It's nice and quiet, watching the ships come and go. The band hasn't shown up yet, but he comes out, and it's just the, you know, the door opening, and then just of his like fucking the hydraulics and stuff in his like legs as he just shuffles out, and it's just like, "Hello, fellas, I got some food for you," and he puts the food in front of Ant. She's like, "I heard that you didn't eat dinner, so here is some Kenobi beef burgers." And here are some butter balls. And then here are some Bantha fries. Right? Is that what they're called?
They're Bantha Blitz fries.
Bantha Blitz fries. Straight from, Kano Burgers. you enjoy this.
Pien, thank you. You can go.
I can go now. So, you have a good night. And he's like shooting like this, and like the finger guns, and you can see one of his eyes like flick on and off, like he's winking. So, and then just kind of shuffles backwards, and then turns around and goes back to the back to the elevator. At that point, so she digs into the food. Like, this is more her scene. Mm-hmm. And you guys are again just kind of talking and stuff. You're drinking wine. The band shows up.
Hey, I have a couple surprises. Oh, this is the band.
Oh, so the band comes out, and they just start playing music behind him to kind of like set the mood with the sun still setting, the ship's coming and going, and right as it like starts to get dark, the fireworks show.
Wait, so before that, I scoot my chair next to hers, and then I lean in and I just go and look right over the horizon.
She looks, and about 4 minutes pass.
it's coming.
Yeah, it's like not quite dark enough. Like they have like a very specific cue as to like when's the perfect time for the fireworks to go off. But then they do, and they start going off, and it's like a huge display of fireworks. Like Verbach went all out on this for you and helping you out, getting this going, and it's. Fireworks in Star Wars are crazy. Kind of think like in The Hobbit, with just these crazy designs and stuff that moves in weird ways. It's that. Just a lot of really, like,
almost like an animated movie.
Yeah, sort of thing, where it's like you're seeing this and you're like, the fireworks, and it's just the black sky with like the dots of the different planets and stuff. You can kind of see the ships flying and stuff, and then all of a sudden they go off, and it's just like the galaxy as you would see it, like just all the different colors and stuff swirling and stuff. And then, like, those kind of start to fade. Another one goes off, and it shows, like, there's, like, a planet with, like, rings around it, again, against that kind of galaxy. And, like, it's just all these different images of just, like, planets and crazy things that you're like, how the fuck did they do that? Some really cool stuff, shooting stars and whatnot. And it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 30 minutes of that, like, they slowly start to dwindle. And then there's, like, a big finale. Just like crazy nonstop, like just not like just mind blowing fireworks for about 30 seconds. And then,
during that, I inch my hand over and try to hold her hand.
She takes your hand in hers.
Aww.
And you guys finish out the night while you're on the roof as the band plays, and you guys finish those bottles of wine.
To be continued next time on 8-Bit Saga Presents Shadow of the Old Republic.